The New York Yankees get their man. 9 years, $324 million. Someone making soup? Tell you this much, he doesn't have to make any damn thing in his entire life. All he has to do is open up his wallet. Let's get the damn show started.
Listen, when Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike grab mics, it's real sports, real talk, on the field or on the court. If it happened in New York, it's covered like a blanket, dog. Interviews are ill, simply up close and personal. Batter up, Lloyd's batting first, set the tone. Mike's either at the stadium or the garden on the phone. Here we go, Giants are Jets, Yankees are Mets, Knicks are Nets. This is only an intro, the show is next.
A.R.P. And please pardon my fresh as we bring you all new episode of the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Listeners, today is Monday, December 16th, 2019, and this is the last show of 2019, listeners. So it's been a great ride. Hopefully next year be just as good as this one. And as always, the show airs every Monday from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, TuneIn, Google Play, Pocket Cast. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. You know how we do, so you won't miss a damn thing. And if you got any questions, listeners, if you'd like for me and Mad Mike to answer, you can always shoot them through email to lloyd@partmyfresh.com. You can send them directly to the website, or you can send them to social media. Lloyd A. Thompson, one word, Instagram. Lloyd A. Thompson, one word, Twitter. LLOYD. Be sure to hit that follow button. And as always, listeners, to close out the year, we have another great show for you today. The New York Yankees get their man, Gerrit Cole. We're going to talk about that. What's next for the New York Yankees? We're going to talk some New York Knicks basketball as they continue to go downhill, even with another coach. We're going to talk some football as the Jets and Giants win action. Are the Giants actually hurting their chances by getting a good draft pick in the name of Chase Young from Ohio State in this year's upcoming draft by beating the Miami Dolphins? Can they not get it right like the New York Knicks? So listeners, we're going to touch up on some other things as well. And as always, let's buckle up, sit back and relax, and start spreading the news. Hey, yo, let's get it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Monday. That means it's time to talk sports with Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike. Let's go.
As always, we got to find out where the Mad Mike is and where he's calling from. Yo, Mad Mike, where you at today, baby?
Lord, I'm in a New York state of mind. I'm over here at the house that George built, seeing if I can get some interviews, pick some brains, see what's coming down the pipe for New York Yankees.
And listen, what Mad Mike means by that, listeners, is the Yankees got the best pitcher on the open market in free agency, and we're talking about Gerrit Cole. When the Yankees checked into the winter meetings on Sunday, you know, they were very much in play for Gerrit Cole, as me and Mad Mike mentioned on the last show. Now, I didn't want to jinx it, so I kind of played the opposite side of the fence because I've been saying things and ain't been coming to fruition, listeners, so I backed off of this one, all right? And they actually reached a deal with Gerrit Cole, and they re-signed outfielder Brett Gardner. So since they left those meetings Thursday with Cole and Gardner secured, all right, I thought it was somewhat of a success. Now, maybe the Yankees might have needed to go in another direction with Brett Gardner, but not for nothing. Brett Gardner has played solid baseball. Aaron Hicks is going to be out of base. He's not going to be ready for the season until, what, after the All-Star break, Matt Mike?
Roughly, I think they said somewhere around June, I believe. Right, remember, Didi made it back in May.
Right.
But they never felt like Didi was the same player. And one thing that we know is Hicks tends to heal a lot slower than your average baseball player. So June is probably early, and I'd probably go with what you said, somewhere closer to the trade deadline, somewhere in July.
With that being said, the Yankees need a center fielder. Not for nothing, even at his age, Brett Gardner plays a solid center field. And just to give you a little recap on everything, listeners, Cole, who again is the best free agent pitcher in baseball, he agreed to a 9-year contract for $324 million on Tuesday night, coming off the best offensive season of his career. Okay, and Brett Gardner landed a 1-year deal at $12.5 million with a $10 million option for 2021 that has a $2.5 million buyout attached to it. Okay, now they also watched shortstop Didi Gregorius go to Philadelphia, catching Austin Romine is going to Detroit, and Dylan Betances is still a free agent. And it seems like, Mad Mike, from what I've been looking at and reading up on it, it seems like he's not a priority to the Yankees.
I think he's not, only because, to my understanding, the Yankees are really, really hot for Josh Hader, the Milwaukee Brewers closer, which, to me, it sounds like it would be an upgrade. But when I look at what Dylan Betances has been throughout his entire Yankee career, the fact that he's done it in the AL East, and I look at Josh Hader, who's done it in the NL Central, which is, you know, it's the NL Central, right? And what lineup outside of the Cubs is super imposing? None of them. So I don't know if I look at it like an upgrade, but the thing is, you don't know what Dylan Betances you're going to get back coming off shoulder and Achilles injuries this past season.
But I mean, you signed him to a 1-year prove-it deal, Mad Mike.
The issue there is you have to remember something. And this goes back to Derek Jeter. This goes back to Jorge Posada. This goes back to not even Mariano. They've never kind of disrespected him. But remember something. Remember how these guys were treated in the arbitration process. Well, the Yankees, one of the only players that had to go to arbitration with the Yankees over through this last 3 or 4 year stretch was Dylan Betances. And remember, Dylan said, "I will never forget the things that they said about me. I will never forget this." So the question is, well, is he willing to take a 1-year deal for them? If he's got to take a 1-year deal, is it going to be for the Yankees? Is he going to stick to his word and say, I'll never forget this, and give somebody else, you know, kind of that discount, that prove it deal?
Yeah,
now,
I'm
to me personally, I'd go Yankees. You know what I mean? Because I know the system.
He might go to Philadelphia and reunite himself with Joe Girardi.
Well, here's the thing, Lloyd. I hear those reports, and I don't believe them. And I'll tell you why. Joe Girardi was a big part of his struggles. Joe Girardi's inconsistent youth. Joe Girardi's... Dylan Betances is a guy that needs to pitch. Dylan Betances is a guy that needs to stay on schedule to keep his mechanics on schedule. And Joe Girardi, when he was here, he didn't care. There'd be weeks where Dylan would go two days a week, until he was all out of whack. And then Joe would pitch him for two hitters, remember? And he'd come and pull him as soon as somebody went, you know, got on base. I don't see it happening. You know, I just don't.
Yeah, so the remainder of the offseason could include more additions. You know, if the right fit is found, currently the Yankees believe Gleyber Torres, an all-star second baseman, in his first two big league seasons can slide over to shortstop and replace Gregorius, and Kyle Higashioka can replace Austin Roman as Gary Sanchez's backup. All right, now Cole, who's 29 years old, was certainly the biggest catch of these winter meetings, and he turned a solid rotation into an elite one. You know, however, retaining Gardner was very important. Gardner, 36, made it very clear he didn't want to play for another team besides the Yankees. This is the only organization, listeners, he's ever played for, all right? And he had to wait until Garrett Cole was secured before he got his deal done Thursday morning, all right? Now, it's significant in so many ways. You know, he's been on the team longer than anyone else, all right? And the production, you know, on the field, he's coming off one of his best seasons, listeners. And not just the additional power he had last year and continue excellent defense. He's a big part of the Yankees. Big part of the Yankees. He turned in career highs. He had 28 homers, 74 RBIs, so on OPS, 829 in 141 games. Now, he didn't hit for hot caca in the playoffs.
And he never has. And that's the problem I have with this. At some point, if you sign Garrett Cole, to me, you're signifying that you're ready to make a deep run in the playoffs. A deep run in the playoffs tells me that one, You gotta have your sights set on somebody better than Brett Gardner. I mean, it's no coincidence he had career highs in a year where, let's be honest, everybody had career highs. So if the league goes back to the regular baseball next year, you're getting what, a $12 million Brett Gardner? No, you're not. You're gonna get an average guy who's gonna hit 250, who's gonna go somewhere back down around 12 home runs. I don't want to knock it so much because I know with Hicks out, I know that I guess our hands were tied a little bit. But listen, if I came to you and said, hey, we're going to get Gerrit Cole this offseason, right? And we're going to lose Dellin Betances and we're going to lose Didi Gregorius. Would you tell me that the Yankees got better?
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Would you?
No.
Because if you wouldn't, I don't understand why everyone is punching their ticket to the World Series right now. Because as far as I'm concerned, we didn't get better. Not only that, but we don't need one starter. We needed two starters.
Yeah, they still need something. I'm hearing Madison Bumgarner's name. I don't necessarily think Madison Bumgarner wants to leave.
No. Bumgarner signed with the Diamondbacks.
Did he?
Yeah, 5 years, $85 million. All right, now $17 million a year.
I'm hearing Robbie Ray's name in a trade. You know, look, I don't know.
Yeah, and that's more likely now. Robbie Ray will more likely be traded. We know that the Yankees absolutely love Robbie Ray.
Robbie Ray, would you be like, okay, that was, you know, that's the second pitcher that I'm happy with that they've gotten?
Yeah, if you get Cole, if you got Gerrit Cole and you landed Robbie Ray and you found a way to shed salary from... I guess Jay Happ would have to go.
Sending Jay Happ back to Toronto.
Yeah, but from everything I hear, for Toronto to take that contract, Clint Frazier has to go with him. From everything I hear. So, is it worth it?
Well, I mean... unless you think you can get something better for Clint Frazier, like, you know, if the Yankees could pull off maybe getting Robbie Ray... And they need Clint Frazier, a player that they need, you know, they need him to get Robbie Ray. And obviously, you know, you don't include him. I'm hearing they might move Miguel Andujar over to first base. Look, he couldn't play third base. I don't know
if
how
he
the
can't
hell he
play third,
first base.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. If he can't play third, he can't play first. Their logic is his arm is more of the problem than his glove. To me, that's BS. The guy can't field. He's got, a negative. He's got more than 30 defensive runs saved, negative 30 defensive runs saved over his career, which is terrible. He's got zero range over there. First base is too important defensively. It just is. And I don't know. I don't know what this team is going to do, but the one thing I do want people to stop saying is that this team got better. This team did not get better. This rotation got better, and a fully healthy Severino. This rotation can be special, but at the same time, if you're going to roll the dice and say that because you had such a great offensive year last year with all these replacements, listen, they're replacements for a reason. And if they all take a step back, your offense is going to stink. And now all of a sudden, it doesn't matter if you can pitch because now you're the Mets and you can't score.
Yeah, they're also talking about Martin Maldonado. Who caught Gerrit Cole? He caught all of Cole's regular season starts, you know, after the Astros got him from the Cubs at the trade deadline. And over that span, Cole actually pitched pretty well, pitched it to him, a 1.57 ERA with 114 strikeouts.
See, that's what bothers me. Why would you, your team, that is.
I just want to throw out, man, Mike, he did only hit .213 with 12 home runs and 27 RBIs.
But that's my point. Why would you spend money or prospects to get this guy when I'm sure Kyle Higashioka over the course of an entire season is probably going to hit .225 with two home runs and 25 RBIs? It doesn't make any sense to me. It just doesn't. These are the things that I'm saying where I'm not fully buying in. It's just like Glaber. Glaber can play shortstop, but Glaber's what makes Glaber special is the fact that he's a 300 hitter who has 35, 30 home run potential, but he can play both shortstop and second base at a gold glove caliber level. So he's versatile in the middle of the – that doesn't exist. Think well, about that, Lord.
I would have – listen, Didi only signed for $14 million, if I'm correct, with Philly.
Yes.
Okay, and that's a one-year deal. Why didn't the Yankees bring him back at a one-year deal? I would have kept Didi as short, kept Gleyber Torres at second, and put DJ LeMahieu at first base.
Or you do exactly what you did with DJ LeMahieu all year. First, second, third base.
Yeah, Gleyber Torres is not going to play. Something. He's not playing 162 games at shortstop.
No. Now, who the but hell you want to know what else?
Who did the Yankees put at shortstop when Gleyber Torres is not on the field?
Probably Tyler Wade. Probably Tyler Wade is going to become their super utility guy because he can play second, short, and third base. But once again, you got to think of it. And this is exactly why I was saying Didi is so important, in my opinion. Because if Didi's your everyday shortstop, when Didi needs a day off, Gleyber goes over to short, right? When Gleyber needs a day off at second base, DJ LeMahieu goes over to second base. If you were truly planning to trade Miguel Andujar this offseason, that really leaves you with one third baseman, right? Gio Urshela. So if anything happens with Gio Urshela, whether he's injured or he needs a break, DJ LeMahieu is going over to third base. By losing, and I know it sounds crazy to say it, but by losing Didi Gregorius, you kind of actually throw your entire infield out of whack, and you take it from being a special defensive unit and special infield, and you just make it, to me, just another regular Major League Baseball infield.
Yeah, it just shows that the Yankees still have a lot of work to do. They still have a lot of work to do. They need a first baseman, okay? They need a backup, like you said, a utility player. I'm not sold on Tyler Wade. I'm not. So, and with that being said, they need a utility player that can play multiple positions in the infield. Look at their outfield, man, Mike. You being Brett Gardner, you got Mike Tauchman. Did they resign Cameron Maybin? Did they resign him?
No.
That outfield, you know, so they got issues, like you said, because they won the Garrett Cole sweepstakes. And people, that doesn't mean that their ticket should be punched to the World Series. Because now you let Didi go. You know, you're thinking about letting Dellin Betances go. Those are two big blows. And like Mad Mike described and explained to you, listeners, this could cause more it's causing more damage than helping this team. So unless the Yankees plan to move forward and fill out these holes before the start of the season, this team could very well be in trouble. Not, you know, they're going to push and obviously probably get a playoff spot. Maybe if they don't win a division, maybe a wild card spot. But they're no lock to win a World Series. They didn't hit with the players that they had. They didn't hit. And I always say good pitching beats good hitting any day of the week. But if you have good pitching and you got no damn hitting, then what the hell does that mean? You ain't going to win nothing.
And then I'll say this too. Corey Kluber got traded to the Texas Rangers for a fourth outfielder and a top relief prospect. All these relievers that the Yankees boast, you don't think the Yankees could have traded one of their top relieving prospects and a fourth outfielder for Corey Kluber and been in better shape? Seriously, dude. Like, really? We Corey Kluber went for Delino DeShields and a reliever. Delino DeShields and a reliever, dude. Like, we couldn't do that?
Does this all sound familiar? Remember last year when the Yankees could have went and got players and they didn't, and other teams were swinging deals for players that the Yankees could have easily swung deals for as well?
And I don't, like I said, because I know I come off like a spoiled Yankee fan. I'm not a spoiled Yankee fan. What I'm saying is, if you finally are going to give us somebody we wanted, like Garrett Cole, if it comes at the expense of the other, you know, 40 men on a roster, or filling the other holes, was it worth it to get Garrett Cole? That's what I'm asking.
Listen, the bottom line is, like Mad Mike said, listeners, and I agree with him wholeheartedly, and we said it the last show, we said it during the offseason, the Yankees need another damn starter. I don't mean a back-of-the-end rotation starter. They need another frontline starter. Who's out there on the open market still? The pitcher from the Dodgers?
Yeah, Ryu, renew. He's on the market. I mean,
wasn't there somebody else? Or maybe I'm thinking Ryu and Bumgarner. I don't know. Those are the two guys. I thought another top guy was topper in rotation guy was still out in the market. I could have been wrong, though. But I know he's still there, and I'm sure he's going to want a lot of money.
Yeah, but at this point, it's not worth it. And if you want to know how bad that J-Hap deal was, J-Hap got 3 years, $51 million, and Madison Bumgarner got 5 years and $85 million. They both got $17 million a year, both of them. And J-Hap got 3 years at 36 years old, and Bumgarner got 5 years at 30 years old. Think about that. I just want you to realize how bad that J-Hap situation is. Like, you can't get a Madison Bumgarner because Hal Steinbrenner, this is not back in the days where George was like, all right, I'm going to give you the money to erase your mistake. You make a mistake, Hal is like, you're going to live with that mistake. J-Hap was a mistake. Hal is not going to give the money to fix that mistake.
Yeah, supposedly I heard that he's opening up the wallet, but you're absolutely right. You know, he's definitely not like his pops.
He opened up the wallet, Lloyd. He opened up the wallet. It's not opening up the wallet when you tell someone, well, if you want Cole, you can't have Betances and Didi Gregorius. That's not opening up the wallet. That's saying pick these two or pick this one. It's basically saying you have $50 million or here's $36 million. Who do you prefer to have? Gregorius at 14 and Betances at 12 or Gerrit Cole? He didn't open anything. He made Cashman choose. And Cashman chose.
Yeah, I mean, the more we break it down and the more I think about it and the more I talk about it, boy. Oh, man. They still have a lot to do. They have more to do than, you know, I mean, obviously before you start going elsewhere, you want to take care of your own.
Bro, it's like.
The Yankees did it backwards. They did it backwards. They took care of somebody else before they took care of their own.
It's like asking for a whole outfit on Christmas, right? So you ask your mother for a shirt, you ask your mother for a pair of jeans, you ask your mother for a brand new pair of Tims. And your mom comes to you and she says, well, you can get the jeans and the shirt, or you can get the Tims. Which one is it? And you're going to be like, well, the Tims cost more. I'm going to go with the Tims. All right, well, now you got these shiny, you know, these nice, suede, clean, crisp Tims. And you wearing the same old dingy shirt and jeans. It loses its luster.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's what that is. Mom opened the wallet, but she ain't fully opened the wallet. You know what I mean? Like, you got one gift. You ain't get everything.
You know what amazes me? When I look at stuff and I just see the Yankees are going after this person, the Yankees are talking to this person, they end up doing nothing. That's why I'm surprised they even got Gerrit Cole. I thought I was dreaming.
Oh, no, I was wide awake. I was wide awake at midnight when that news broke. But it's just like I said before, I was excited. And then when I realized, like, wait a minute, we got him, but we're going to lose everybody else because we got him. Then I'm like, wait a minute. What would I, you know what I mean? Like, simply put, like, if you signed him at the expense of others, then and we ain't get better.
Let me throw this out there at you, Mad Mike. And I'm wondering if you talked to our good friend Joe Rivera, columnist from the Sporting News, about this. Okay, so the length of Gerrit Cole's contract is 9 years. That's a long time. All right? 9 years at $324 million. I was talking to Sip, you know, at the building. And I was like, look, if the Yankees could win two World Series in that 9 years, it's worth the contract. It's worth the contract. But this dude is going to be, by the time his contract is over, he's going to be 38 years old. And he can opt out after the fifth year. And I doubt seriously he's going to walk away from $36 million after 5 years.
Well, I will say this. I did speak with Joe. Joe was actually, I think I mentioned it last week. Joe had told me, remember everyone was saying 7245. And I actually said on the air last week that Joe told me that this is not going to be anything less than eight, and the Yankees would probably have to go to nine to get it done. That's what he was hearing, even though everybody was saying 7245. Joe Rivera was spot on. He ended up getting nine at the three at the 36 mil mark. Now here's the thing, Lloyd. I'm not gonna talk. Say it's that crazy. When you consider the fact that the Yankees just gave Jay Happ a 3-year deal at 36 years old. So they, you know, for a team that's like, we don't want long term deals with aging players. But when you decide to give a 36-year-old a 3-year deal, you're talking about 36, 37, 38. His you know, those seasons. So I had a problem with that. With him, if you didn't want to go to the 9 years, you had to lock him up before Steven Strasburg got signed. The problem was Scott Boras was his agent. And unlike last year where there was two competing agents, Strasburg and Cole shared an agent. So he already knew what he was doing. He was never going to sign Cole first. He was going to sign Strasburg. Why? Because Strasburg was 2 years older. And because Strasburg, if Strasburg could get 6 years, then you can get eight for Cole. If Strasburg can get 7 years, you can get nine for Cole. Because he's saying Strasburg deal is going to take him to 38 years old, right? He's 31. He signed for 7 years. It's going to take him to 38. So Cole is 29. A 9-year deal will get him to 38. That's the mark. He unfortunately, he said it, and that's why the guys were able to sign so early this year. Last year, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado had different agents, Casey Close and Scott Boras. Obviously, one didn't want to get outdone by the other, so they dragged it all the way into February.
Well, I mean, I'm hearing either way he was going to get $300
million. From what I heard, Angels, both the Angels and Dodgers came in slightly under $300 million, but I also heard that neither one of them were willing to go to 9 years. What I don't understand is, if you're willing to pay a pitcher for 8 years at that age to take you into the 37-year-old, why wouldn't you just pay him the 9 years? It's just as risky 9 years as it is 8 years, right?
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense.
Fair enough. Look, I mean, in that sense, the Yankees did what they needed to do to get him. But they have some other things that they need to do to make this team a World Series contending team. And unless they do those things, how can you crown this team the World Series champions?
I agree.
You just can't do it. Tampa Bay is going to always be there. Same thing with Boston. You know, Toronto is, you know.
Well, the thing about Boston, I think Boston's window is closing rapidly. We don't know what extent Alex Cora played in that cheating. We don't know if he's going to face any discipline. But we do already know that Boston has very little money available to them because they've been over the cap for so long under Dave Dombrowski. So we do know that's a struggle for them. To be fair to the Yankees, I think the Yankees have a pretty solid window here where they can probably own their division for maybe 3 or 4 years, especially if Boston has to move on from Mookie Betts.
Yeah, and Chris Sellin have a really good season, and neither did David Price.
Well, what is they're both.
Is it Rick Porcello that's a free agent?
He signed with the Mets.
Get out of here, did he?
Yeah.
Ah. Wow, what did he sign with the Mets for?
I want to tell you it was 1 year, but
okay.
I'm not sure on the numbers. Michael Wacha signed for 1 year at $3 million with the Mets and incentives up to $7 million.
That's not Wacha from the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. You go on, New York Mets. Go on.
Reclamation projects, but...
Yeah, I mean, you know, low risk, high reward. You know, another person, before we go to the commercial break, let me throw this name out at you, Mad Mike. King Felix. King Felix Hernandez, former stud pitcher from the Seattle Mariners. Would you entertain the thought of a 1-year prove-it deal with King Felix with hopes that this new Yankees pitching coach can somehow manage to get him back to where he once was? As a dominant pitcher in the American League.
What I do is short. Would King Felix do it? I don't know. But I would definitely. I mean, as a number five starter, I'm sure that he can give you something high, 3.9, 3.8. I don't see why not. If he's willing to take a prove-it deal, sure. Right, I'm not opposed to the Yankees making any moves.
A substantial amount of money someplace else? Because, I mean, the last, what, year or two of his contract, he hasn't pitched really that well in Seattle. Definitely not the Keaton Felix that we're used to seeing.
But here's the thing, and I think that, and you know this too, especially as an athlete, there's something to be said about your mental state when you're playing on a team that you know is a contender and that's in it versus a team that you know you're going to struggle on. It happens to me just in softball. When I know we have a really bad team, it's like, damn, do I want to leave the job to go here? Do I want to die for that ball? Do I want to do this? And, you know, so I'm sure that they go through the same thing. King Felix has played on a bad team for the Mariners have not been good for some 3-4 years. If, you know, just my opinion, if you put him on a contender,
I mean, maybe they had a year or two where they was kind of in the runnings, but yeah, they've been a bad team for the majority of his career playing with them.
So, yeah, and that's just my take on it. Like, if we were being fair to him, what's his mental state if he's playing in New York? I mean, if I know that I'm starting, either I'm starting half my games in Yankee Stadium and I'm getting up for that, or I'm making half my starts in a pennant race, I'm getting up for that as well. So I do think that he could benefit from it. I don't think the Yankees would do it simply because I just think that right now, unless they can move Jay Happ, I don't think they're looking to add any more money. I don't know. Just my take.
Where you have it, listeners. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk some basketball and football. So we'll be right back with more of the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Welcome back to the Lloyd A. Thompson and Mad Mike Sports Talk Show. Listeners, the first half of the show, we talked about the New York Yankees and them signing big-time free agent pitcher Gerrit Cole and what the Yankees need to do to actually be World Series contenders in this upcoming season. Me and Mad Mike don't think that they've done enough, and Mad Mike broke it down even more for us, for me to even think me even more that they haven't done enough. So we'll see what happens. They still have a lot of work to be done. But let's talk some New York Knicks basketball, Mad Mike. Let's talk some basketball, okay? Fizdale was fired, and we talked about that on last week's show. And we talked about the new coach, Mike Miller, who's taken over. And I gave you my thoughts on Mike Miller and, you know, the personal, not interactions that I've had with him, so to speak, that I've had with players that have played underneath him. Weren't good. And you look at this team, and this team is still not playing good basketball. They got the brakes beat off them by the Portland Trailblazers. Then there was the hot caca game between the Golden State Warriors and the New York Knicks. The New York Knicks blew a 20-point lead. They was
22.
22-point lead. They was winning the game with 3 seconds or 4 seconds left. And we talk, and listen, as I've mentioned this plenty of damn times. Why in the hell do you let a player shoot a 3-pointer and not foul him before he does? Why? Why does the coach not say, as soon as the ball touches somebody's hands, grab him? What do the Knicks do? They let D'Angelo Russell, the player that Mad Mike has been clamming to come to New York and thinks we're doing an excellent job for this franchise. They let him shoot a 3-pointer 8 times a game. A game that had no business going into overtime, but did. Now, the Knicks pulled that out, but what does that lead me back to? Poor coaching. Poor coaching. All right? Now, with that being said, maybe the Knicks have a few names in mind if they hire a new head coach during the season. I don't think they're hire a new coach during this season. I think they're going to let Mike Miller stick it out. This team is already dysfunctional as is. And if you bought a coaching, I don't know what coach would want to come in at this point of the season and coach this team. So the best way, in my opinion, to handle this, listeners, is you just go through the season, and this is an awful season already. You just finish up this season, and you bring in a new coach before the draft begins, and you sit down with that new coach, and you go over what his plans are, what type of player he would like to have in a system that he wants to coach.
You're going to disagree with me, Lloyd. I'd bring the coach in right now, and I'll tell you why I'd bring the coach in right now. Because, in my opinion, my focus shouldn't be on trying to win games. And this is the thing with Mike Miller, right? Mike Miller is going to try to win games. Mike Miller is going to try to prove to everybody that he can coach this team in the long term. And the biggest thing that's going to happen out of the biggest takeaway from this is going to be Mike Miller is going to do exactly what he's been doing. Why is Frank riding the bench all of a sudden and in favor of Elfrid Payton, a veteran? Why we already have these arguments, right? Why is Taj Gibson starting over Mitchell Robinson? Why is Kevin Knox a franchise cornerstone, right? That because that's what they told us with their first pick. You can't just tell me that this is David Fizdale's guy. This has to be Harry and Mills' guy too. He's not playing anymore. You know, he's playing 15 minutes a game. So what I'm saying is, if let's say Jeff Van Gundy was a guy, let's say Mark Jackson, I don't care who you want to say. If you want to say Tom Thibodeau or anybody, right? At least they can put their system in place this year. They can start whipping these young kids into shape. These young kids will know what's expected of them, what they need to do, rather than waiting until the offseason and then coming in here and trying to implement yet again.
Oh, No, that makes sense. It makes sense, but either way, you know, I said in a sense that, you know, I feel it that whoever they bring in, that's kind of like, you know, giving them a beat up car and telling them to travel You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the sense that I'm thinking of.
But yeah, you know, and I will tell you this. I'm actually the only reason that I'm in support of this move is because this move tells me that Perry and Mills are kind of on the hot seat. And they're not necessarily trusting those guys to make the next coaching hire. Because if they hire a new coach now and they want to fire those guys, a GM is going to have to come in here married to whoever they hire.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And that was the next thing I was going to throw out. They need to fire them too at the end of the season. You got to clean house. Listen, I hate to sound like a broken record, but damn it, I'm going to sound like a broken record. You got to get rid of the cancer. Steve Mills is the cancer. And because he's infected Scott Perry with his idiotic movements, Scott Perry is now a cancer.
I'm not going to say that. Scott Perry is a guy who firmly believes that you teach young kids through veteran play. He's a firm believer in that. Go through his Detroit days.
Yeah, but where, Mike, where? They signed all these dudes to one-year deals. So you're bringing the veterans to teach the young kids what? They're going to be gone. And it's not like...
But that's what I'm saying. But is it the same thing in Sacramento, Lloyd? Right? He gave Zach Randolph a deal. He gave George Hill a deal.
But Z-Bo was there for a minute, though. Z-Bo, he wasn't one and done with Memphis.
He was... No, not Memphis. Sacramento.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry, listeners.
You know what I'm saying?
Memphis.
Vince Carter, he brought these guys all in on one-year deals. And it stunted the growth of those Kings as well. It's a fundamental belief that Scott Perry has that young guys learn the NBA through the veterans. And it's something that I wholeheartedly disagree with. And I think that's why Scott Perry, if you ever look at his teams outside of his Detroit run with Joe Dumars, it's never worked. It's never worked. It never worked in Orlando. You saw it. Never worked in Orlando. It didn't work in Sacramento, and it's not working here. And what I need Scott Perry to do is I need Scott Perry to show me that he can adapt and understand that his beliefs are not necessarily right, that his way of building a team is not necessarily good for the long-term health of a franchise.
But this is what I'm saying, though, man, Mike. If you get rid of Steve Mills, right, mm-hmm. and you get rid of the coach, then what the hell do you do with Scott Perry? You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean,
from everything that I've read, if they got rid of Steve Mills, Scott Perry would be promoted to president to finish the year off. Mike Miller would be here for the rest of the year. Remember, Mike Miller is not a Scott Perry or Steve Mills guy. That's the funny thing about all this. Mike Miller is an Allen Houston guy. That's why I'm like, what the hell is going on here? Scott Perry and Scott, I don't even know who a Scott Perry guy is. Steve Mills went David Fizdale specifically for the sake of luring a free agent here. Not because he was a good coach, but because he thought he was going to lure free agents here. And I don't think either one of us can ignore that. Allen Houston demanded Mike Miller be on the coaching staff here. That's another fact. That had nothing to do with Scott Miller.
But you're saying that? You know where I'm going with this? Houston is in Kansas as well.
I agree.
It has been. And I'm not saying this because of what Mad Mike is saying. Listeners, I've always felt this way about Allen Houston. Always. You know, not for nothing, Mad Mike, an NBA permanent replacement for in-season firing, it usually doesn't happen, which is why I'm saying that. So teams usually ride it out with the intern coach and wait for the market to develop after the regular season ends. And, you know, the Knicks did this when Derek Fisher was let go in 2016 as Kurt Rambis coached the final 28 games. You know, New York might be interested in finding their replacement sooner than later, which is what Mad Mike is saying, listeners, and it won't be a bad idea. However, you know, household names are out there that they continue to pass up. And I'm talking about the Jeff Van Gundys, the Mark Jacksons, the Tom Thibodeaux. They have to be on the list of candidates for the Knicks to pick the highest coaches. Have to be.
Well, you know, the one good thing for us is what came out this weekend was that whoever the next head coach is going to be, it's not just going to be somebody who can coach, who can develop young players. It's also going to be somebody that identifies with this market, with this city, with this fan base. That's what all that me and you have been asking for forever.
But my thing is, a guy that cares. Now, if they haven't gotten it right, what in the hell? I have no confidence they're going to get it right this time.
Well,
I mean, and then how many times can you crap on Mark Jackson? At some point, does Mark Jackson be like, nah, man, I don't want that. The 2 years that I wanted the gig, you didn't want to give it to me. And then you have players like Patrick Ewing that are coming out in defense of Fizdale and saying, well, if that could have been me.
Well, you know.
This team just has negative juju all over it, man. Negative juju.
I have a real problem with Steve Kerr said it and Greg Popovich said it. I have a real problem with it. Because in the end of the day, unless they're watching Knick games all year, every single Knick game, they can't say that. We watch every Knick game. We know how bad of a coach David Fizdale is. We do. We watched it. It's just like we said, Julius Randle comes across as a budding star, right? His game, his numbers, everything suggested we were getting an up-and-coming superstar. And then we watch him every single night, and we're like, nah, man, this kid's not all that great. He's good. He's not special. It's facts. When you watch him dribble, when you watch him kill drives, when you watch him not pass, or when you watch all the things that he does wrong, then you start questioning the signing, right? Well, that's David Fizdale. When you start watching everything he does wrong, you're like, wait a minute, he's not a good coach. What the hell was LeBron? Was Mario Chalmers good because David Fizdale helped develop him, or because it's easier for Mario Chalmers, a point guard, to develop surrounded by the likes of Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and LeBron James? And I can answer that question for you, because isn't that something that Doc Rivers said about Rajon Rondo? Rajon Rondo came in green. It was a lot easier to develop him around Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, and Ray Allen.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Show me a coach that can develop those guys without a superstar, and then me and you can have the conversation. Yeah, and the one person I'll tell you that I know can do it is Mark Jackson. Why? because he developed the Splash Brothers and Draymond Green. He didn't turn them into the title contender, title winning team they are, but he developed them.
And he makes the most sense over and over. And we've been saying this for how many years now, man, Mike? When the Knicks hired Derek Fisher, we were saying Mark Jackson should have been hired.
When they hired Mike D'Antoni, yeah, it should have been Mark Jackson.
Like you said, you got to get somebody in here who identifies the city that the fans relate to and that loves this organization. Somebody that when they talk, if Mark Jackson says to his fans, all I'm asking is for you to be patient and things are going to turn around. I'll be more inclined to believe that than Fizdale saying it to me. Or Dan Antoni saying it to me.
Or Dan, you know, it's funny,
saying it to me.
It's funny that you say that because I was having a conversation with a cat at 2K Sports. And we always talk about it because one thing that we clearly remember is, remember when they made that Andrew Bogut trade? It was right when the new ownership took over. They made this Andrew Bogut trade, and the fan base went nuts on them. And they just did not want to buy in. They hated the move. And Mark Jackson actually got on the mic and said, be patient. These guys know exactly what they're doing. This trade is going to work out. He got on the mic and told the fan base exactly what you just said. And he was 100% right. The only thing, the difference is people forget that he did it because Mark Jackson wasn't around to win the championships. He didn't get to benefit from that part of the deal.
Yeah, I truly believe. Talk about somebody that polished up the car and got the engine running perfectly, got the HP up on the car and everything, and somebody just came and took it and started winning races with it. That's exactly what Mark Jackson did with the Golden State Warriors.
I'm not gonna knock him because once again, I don't want to sit here and be the guy that says he would have won the same titles. Sometimes you need exactly that. Sometimes you need the next guy to come in and be the cherry on top. Like
here's my thing, man, Mike. You know, there's issues or questions about Mark Jackson being able to come in and deal with upper management. Okay, now there has to be a reason why Mark Jackson hasn't been hired as a coach in the NBA. It's not because he can't coach, right? It's not because he can't coach. There has to be a reason. And I'm hearing he doesn't really get along well with the front offices. He didn't get along with the front office in Golden State, and I'm hearing that's what's scaring teams away. But damn it, this is a chance that you take if you're the Knicks organization.
Well, here's what I say. That doesn't scare me here because if there's anything I want a coach that's not going to get along with the front office. If you're telling me the issue with New York is the front office, why the hell do I want a guy that's going to get along with it? No. I want a guy who's going to come in here, rattle some cages, shake some doors, bang on some doors, rather, you know, and make other people uncomfortable to the point where they're like, maybe I need to change. That's exactly what I want.
Can I give you a dream scenario before we move on to football real quick?
Go ahead.
Here's my dream scenario. Jeff Van Gundy, president of basketball operations, Mark Jackson, head coach. They have an excellent relationship. It's broadcast as they both coach this organization. Van Gundy is affiliated with Team USA. And I think they would make a great tandem and great team.
Can I add to that?
Go right ahead.
Since we probably know that Tom Thibodeau's not getting a head coaching job anytime soon in the league because of how load management, he doesn't believe in it in a time where everybody believes in load management. How about Tom Thibodeau as my defensive specialist on my coaching staff?
Oh, 1,000%. Would Tom Thibodeau take that, though?
I mean, there's no role for him right now until he shows that he can adapt his coaching style.
Do you think he did that bad of a job, though, with Minnesota while he was there, Mad Mike?
No, I don't. But at the same time, I think he was just in a can't win position because he knew he needed Jimmy Butler, he needed that grinder. He needed that piece. And while Jimmy Butler, we can say whatever we want, I think Jimmy Butler is a piece of crap as a teammate. I think I think he proved that in Chicago. I think he proved it in Minnesota. I think he, think about all the stories that came out in Philadelphia, how he him and Ben Simmons didn't get along. But at the same time, it's hard to ignore how they've changed the mindset in Miami. So, but no, I don't think that Tom will get a job anytime soon. But even if it's not Mark, I think it'll be Jeff. I think Jeff Van Gundy or Mark Jackson gets the job, and I think Tom Thibodeau comes on that staff.
Do you think Jeff Van Gundy wants the job? I can sit here and say I think Mark Jackson wants the job, but do you think Jeff Van Gundy wants the job?
I've heard that he'd be interested, but I heard that he said he's not going to talk about this job while someone still has a job. So once they have a vacancy, if they're serious about talking to him, he will do so. But here's the thing, and we saw this last time. He's not willing to talk to this team if Mark Jackson is a real candidate, because Mark Jackson is his friend. And he's not going to take a job that he knows his friend wants so badly. So the Knicks have to be honest with themselves. If Mark is not a true candidate in the sense that this is a guy we're willing to hire, then they have to stop going along with the interviews. The question would be, does Van Gundy bring Mark on as his ace in the hole? So when he steps down, the job naturally goes to Mark. That could be another way around it, but we'll see.
Listen, either one I'm ecstatic with. I think the Knicks finally got to get it right and get one of those two guys. And look, moving on to football, I just want to compare these two organizations, Mad Mike, okay? The New York Knicks and the New York Giants, all right? The New York Giants front office is dysfunctional. And I'm talking about Betcher, Sherman, Gettleman, Cancer. And the New York Giants is a respectable organization with the owner Tish and owner Mara. They've always been. Players respect it. Players speak highly. And I'm talking about not only just Giant players, but players in general. And they're making a mockery of this team right now, Mad Mike. And we're going to go into why they're making a mockery of this team. But I compare them to the New York Knicks. Dysfunctional front office. Steve Mills. Fizdale. The only thing that's worse that the Knicks have is the owner. And if the Giants owners keep on letting this team head in the direction that they're heading in, they're going to be right up there with James Dolan. Not on the same kill, but they're going to be up there with him. So they have to do something about Betcher, Gettleman, and Pat Shurmur when this season ends. Now, they said they're going to think about it. Who knows if they're going to make a change, but they need a big change needs to be made in the Knicks organization and the New York Giants organization. And with that being said, let's talk about the New York Giants. All right? Who played against the Miami Dolphins? Eli Manning's possible last home game. Matt Mike?
Yep.
Only thing that came out of that win was a big disappointment for me, and here's why. The New York Giants just possibly killed themselves at getting a chance to Chase Young, defensive end stud from Ohio State. Now they beat the Miami Dolphins. Now the Miami Dolphins have the second worst record in the NFL. And reports are that they might draft Alabama's quarterback, Tua. I can't pronounce his name. I'm going to take a shot. Tagovailoa, whatever his name is.
Tagovailoa.
Yes. So it seems like Justin Burrow, congrats, young man. Heisman Trophy winner from LSU, who threw for over 4,000 yards. It looks like he is going to be drafted by the Cincinnati Bengals.
Number one.
Now the question is, listeners and Mad Mike, what do the Miami Dolphins do at number two? Do they turn around and take Chase Young? I don't think Fitzpatrick is the answer there. They did trade for Josh Rosen. So maybe they might take Chase Young. Did Washington win?
No. They played the Eagles.
So now the Giants are picking fourth because they beat the Redskins. And best believe, if the Redskins pick before the Giants, they're taking Chase Young.
Yep, and they're going to put him right on the other side.
They're taking.
Boy Sweat.
So what that means is this coming game between the Giants and the Washington Redskins is the sweepstakes for Chase Young. Watch the Giants blow this. Watch they end up winning.
Here's the thing, Lloyd, and we both agree that game is that's the final game of the year, right?
No. I think the Giants have one more game after that. I think they finish up with I know
with
they
the
got
Eagles at home.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's why if Eli Manning is not playing next week and you got to reinsert Daniel Jones, you cannot lose to the Washington Redskins next week. You cannot lose, and here's why. We know that Haskins and Daniel Jones are tied. And remember the one thing that I told you. I said Daniel Jones was a four-year, was a senior quarterback, probably had the best quarterback coach in all of the country in college, you know, during his time at Duke, right, David Cutcliffe, where Haskins was a 1-2-year starter, and just he needed more time. Well, look at how good Haskins has looked over the last month, and look how bad Daniel Jones has looked, where they had to fake a Daniel Jones ankle injury. So they can't lose that game next week, because can you imagine everything that's going to be written about Daniel Jones and Dwayne Haskins if Dwayne Haskins is ascending to the point where the Washington Redskins beat Daniel Jones and the New York Giants? Then all of a sudden, now you have a quarterback problem. Now you have you have stories being written. Did you guys get it right in the draft? And if those stories start, then you're going to have to start answering questions about, do the Giants draft a quarterback in next year's draft?
Now, I will say, that. Supposedly there was reports that Chase Young, which was TMZ reported, that he said he was going back to school for a senior season.
He ain't going back.
And then he rebuked that afterwards. He said he was kind of caught up in a moment. Whatever the case may be. Either way, the Giants need to find a way to. I don't even care about that what you just said, man. Mike, makes all sense in the world, but I don't even care. I can care less. Because I always said that, you know, I gave Daniel Jones a chance, and we talked about this during the regular season. When he won those two games, I said, pump your brakes, listeners. Let's see what happens the next few games. And he failed. So at some point, the Giants will be drafting another quarterback. They effed up that pick. That number six pick, they effed that up in last year's draft.
They also effed up Dexter Lawrence.
Yes.
And you know what else? They also effed up trading for Leonard Williams.
Yes. And trade away Odell Beckham Jr. Again, listeners, this is what I'm talking about. Get rid of that cancer. He's ruining this organization.
You know what's crazy? I heard someone made a great point, something I never considered. As bad as Jerry Reese has been in the draft is how bad Dave Gettleman has been in his transactions, his free agency, and his trades. Think about that for a second. So he hasn't actually been totally bad with the drafts. He ended up getting you Saquon Barkley. He ended up getting you Lorenzo Carter, who's flashed. I'm being generous here, but
he said Saquon Barkley and Darius Slayton are the two gems that he drafted, and Saquon Barkley was a no-brainer. All right, so if you want to go with one pick that was somebody who he made a good draft choice on, that's Darius Slayton. That's it. He's the only person I'll give kudos for is Darius Slayton. I'm not giving him kudos for Saquon Barkley.
Julian Love has looked solid in the slot.
He's
Sam
played
Bill
better.
Doesn't look
he's,
anything
he's
special.
He's played better, but still, you know, Darius Slayton, you can see that he can, he's going to be a solid number two receiver. Don't think he's number one, but he can be solid two or three.
I agree. But I'm just saying, when you start looking at the money, and here's, once again, Someone else made a really good point about this too. Maybe you'll agree, maybe you'll disagree. But if you knew that if you knew you were ready to move on from Eli Manning, and I know that you love Saquon, right? But he made the point, and I was like, holy crap. Let's say you know that you're moving on from Eli Manning, right? And you have all this money. Now all of a sudden, Andrew Norwell doesn't sign with Jacksonville. Andrew Norwell is signing with the New York Giants at a record-breaking money for a guard, right? You then draft Sam Darnold. You then draft Nick Chubb in the second round. Because that's what everyone says. Well, if I drafted Nick Chubb, then I don't have Will Hernandez. Well, here's what I'm telling you. You draft Sam Darnold. You draft Will Hernandez. You don't need Will Hernandez because you don't have Eli Manning on contract. You signed Andrew Norwell. Now you draft Nick Chubb. What would you rather have? No, Daniel Jones, Saquon, and Will Hernandez, or Norwell, Sam Darnold, and Nick Chubb right now?
You're right. Fair enough. But let's move on to this offense. You know, Eli Manning, 20 or 28, 283, two touchdowns, three interceptions. You know, went out as he should, slinging it around and winning. All right. And finally getting the ground game to work, which was good for Eli Manning. Saquon Barkley had his first 100 rushing yard game of the season. 24 carries for 112 yards. Listen, it's two touchdowns. All right. Rough start for Sterling Shepard. He had a drop. Offensive pass and defense penalty on the first series. But he rebounded. Seven catches for 107 yards. You know, second half, you know, left side of the line. Nate Solder and Will Hernandez beaten by stunts on the first possession for a sack. Hernandez later got hit with a holding penalty. Yet another touchdown for rookie Darius Slayton. I'm giving the Giants offense a B, man, Mike.
I gave him a B minus, actually. I was going to go with the C because of the interceptions, but I did see the same thing you did. It was clear that it was just Eli Manning was going to go out like Eli Manning. They were, you know, looking to run up the score. So I didn't necessarily hold the interceptions against them. They weren't necessarily critical. Darius Slayton, yet again, put him up himself up there with some of the best rookie wide receivers in the league right now, and it's been pretty damn good wide receiver class, you know, overall. So, you know, Saquon is looking a little bit more like Saquon. Hard to really gauge where he's at between injuries and really bad offensive line play, but I thought the team was you know, solid. I mean, they blew him out, dude. How much more can I complain about them? I gave him a B minus.
It was the Dolphins, man, Mike. And I was just like,
but
he's like, pump your brake. It's only the Washington Redskins. It's not like they beat the New England Patriots.
No, yeah, you're not wrong. They're not wrong.
You know, so now let's move on to this defense. A good thing the Dolphins, like I said, was in town, you know, and there were moments of indecision with this unit, especially the first half. Dalvin Thomason is putting together a fine season, in my opinion. All right, he combined with Julian Love on a fourth down stop. You know, had a sack in the second quarter. And Leonard Williams was active for the first time. He forced a Ryan Fitzpatrick fumble that was recovered by Sean Chandler. Sam Bell, you know, this quarterback who's been hurt, didn't hear too much off. He too often was soft in his coverage. But he did come up big on an ankle tackle of Patrick Laird in the end zone for safety. Giants had three sacks of Fitzpatrick, who did some damage with his legs. DeAndre Baker showed some toughness coming back from getting his knee knocked. I'm going to give this defense, man, Mike, a C+.
I gave them a B. I thought that they turned it on in the second half. I thought this game was pretty close in the first half. I thought they were playing a little uninspired. Early on, you know, playing the Miami Dolphins, but I gave them a B because in the second half, they basically get whatever they want. I saw Ogletree flying around. At one point, looked like he nearly decapitated Ryan Fitzpatrick on a play where they had to go to replay to confirm that or basically save Fitzpatrick from a fumble. The cornerbacks, the whole, I mean, it was what? All year one and year two defensive backs today. And they held their own. They got better as the game went on. I like what I'm seeing from Julian Love. I think Sam Beal shows you that he was a mistake, in my opinion. Like you said, soft coverage. He doesn't have the body, in my opinion, to stay healthy. He doesn't have the confidence to play pressure man-to-man. It was a better game for DeAndre Baker in coverage, but at the same time, it's not like Miami has, you know, so many weapons where these guys have to continuously worry. I would like to touch on Jack Rabbit after we give out our grades, but yeah, I gave him a B.
All right, now special teams. All right, Damari Scott brought some juice to the, you know, with a 34-yard punt return in the third quarter. Riley Dixon, perhaps, you know, the top performer player on this roster, man, had a 53-yard punt, you know, in the third quarter that rolled dead on Miami 5-yard line. And Aldrick Rojas missed the extra point yet again, but he did have four touchbacks on his kickoffs. You know, Cody Latimer, 28-yard kickoff return. I'm going to get, listen, Riley Dixon, man, he definitely deserves to be, you know, considered for an all-star appearance as a punter in the NFL this year. But with that being said, I'm going to give special teams a B.
Yeah, I gave him a C simply because I'm tired of kicks. Tired of this guy missing kicks. It's just, we can't keep having it. You know, like how many more kicks is he going to miss? Yeah, it was just an extra point. He has four. We know he has a big leg. So for me personally, I don't think the touchbacks are as impressive. Fact of the matter is kick the ball straight and kick it through the uprights, and he doesn't do that. But you're right. Riley Dixon, special. He's been solid with his punting. He's been flipping the field. He's been, playing the field position very well. So, but still, I don't know. I don't think I've ever seen a season, Lloyd, with so many missed kicks. And you really got to wonder if this is what the league wanted when they moved it back. I know they didn't want chip shots, but you got to wonder if this is what the league wanted. This is people's livelihoods. We're talking about, you know, people missing playoffs because their kickers are missing extra points.
You're right. Now let's move on to this coaching. And as much as I hate to give credit to Pat Shurmur, I thought he did a good job on his farewell game for Eli Manning, taking him off the field after the 2-minute warning so he could be received with a rousing ovation by the fans. And play caller by Shurmur certainly looks a little bit better when he has a running game to lean on. All right, defensive coordinator James Betcher, you know, he has to sink or swim with young quarterbacks. And now that Janoran Jenkins is banished, you know, Devontae Parker has 72 yards with two touchdowns. He was effective, but he didn't wreck the game. All right, I'm giving the coaching staff a B-.
I thought this was one of their best games of the year. Granted, it was the Miami Dolphins, but I do think it was one of the best called games. I thought Betcher showed the ability to adapt, to adjust his game plan, coaching up the DBs, the young DBs. The offensive game plan seemed to work. Once again, it was the Dolphins, but you're right. The run game was working. For the most part, it was mixed in. Everything was mixed in really well. Everything was disguised really well. So I thought it was one of their best performances, and I gave them a B+.
All right, now, talk about Janoris Jenkins, man, Mike. He was dismissed from the team after getting into, what do you want to call this, a Twitter beef? He got into a social media beef with a fan. I forgot, what did he call the fan?
Call him a retard.
A retard. And then he turned and said, this is what we say in the hood. Now, listen.
Something like that. Yeah, it's part of his culture.
Listen,
he's not gonna
me
apologize.
And Mad Mike are minorities. And both of us come from the hood. And let me tell you something. That is not a part of what goes down. I've never heard thugs call somebody a retard. That didn't fly where I'm. And listen, East New York, Brooklyn, look it up. South Bronx, New York, look it up. Roosevelt, Long Island, look it up. Baltimore, Maryland, look it up. Some of the worst places that you can live in. In the United States of America. And I've been around the gulliest of the gulliest. Never heard that word before. Never. Then he turned around and said, oh, you guys did me a favor. Then he turned around, I believe, and apologized. Did I get that right, Mad Mike? Did he turn around and apologize for it?
He did. He said he was sorry if he offended anybody after speaking with Pat Shermer.
But you know why I think he did that, Mad Mike? Because if he doesn't apologize for that, he then hurts his chances to get a job someplace else.
It's possible. Yeah, I do want to. The reason I wanted to bring this up is for two reasons. One, this guy should have never been on this roster. When you consider the fact that over the last 12 months, the New York Giants had a chance to trade Janoris Jenkins and Landon Collins and got zero draft picks for both guys. And in a league where everyone is dying for cornerbacks and safeties, it just talks to the ineptitude of Dave Gettleman. But in saying that, I do want to say this, Lloyd. You know, when people use the N-word, nobody seems to be as outraged as a black man calling somebody a retard on Twitter.
Two months ago,
I read you a letter that a Penn State alumni wrote another football player on the Penn State team this year. And remember something, that was the first time you heard that letter, was me reading it on air. Nobody made a big deal about this. It didn't seem to bother anybody. But a black man calls somebody a retard on Twitter, and we're calling for his job. Granted, he's a knucklehead. He should have been gone a long time ago. I'm not going to defend that part of it. But think about what I'm telling you. We're more outraged by the word retard than we are by the word, I don't even know if we can say it on the air, by the N-word, dude.
No, go ahead and say it. Educate.
No, we're more, you know, upset over the word retard than we are the word nigger. Think about that. In today's economy, in today's society, what does that tell you? That this man had to go apologize for saying the word retard because it would help him get a job with another team in the league. But this other guy can write that letter, put his name on it, and he never has to worry about finding a job outside of the football field.
Let's also talk about the reporter or the announcer who made a comment about Lamar Jackson having the type of season that he has because the ball is closer to the complexion of his body.
Yeah, it was bad.
You know what I'm saying?
That was bad. And then you get Richard Sherman, who actually defended him and his comment, which, I mean, I guess you got to know the guy to be able to defend him, but I don't know him, so as far as I'm concerned.
Listen, at the end of the day, it doesn't change your skin complexion and who you are as a person in today's society.
No, that's what I'm saying. But that's exactly what I'm saying. You got to know him to be able to defend him, and I don't know him. And I think his words are absolutely deplorable. And I don't care what kind of individual he is or how upstanding he is. No place in my world for that comment. But, you know, it is what it is. At the same time, like I said before, if Lamar Jackson wasn't black, they would have never asked him to convert to a wide receiver. And we wouldn't be seeing one of the greatest freaking MVP seasons we've ever seen for a quarterback. Think about this for a second. Lamar Jackson is about to win the MVP. He's younger than Joe Burrow, who just won the Heisman.
Yeah. They brought that up during the game when the Ravens beat the Jets on Thursday. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And before we move on to Matt Mike's final rant of the year, listeners, let's talk about the New England Patriots and their cheating ways. As there are reports that they have yet been busted again for cheating. And against who? The Cincinnati Bengals. What the hell are you going to cheat for? To see who they're going to draft?
No, I'm going to tell you this. I'm a big up Mike Strahan because everyone is saying the same exact thing you just said. Why? What are they gaining? They don't need to cheat to beat the Cincinnati Bengals. And Mike Strahan, because he doesn't fear them, because he's one of the only teams that have beat them straight up, he said, well, isn't their coach Zach Martin? What's his name? Zach Martin is the coach? Zach, whatever. Don't get me lying. He said he's a first time coach, Lloyd. He's a brand new coach in this league. There's no tape on him. There's nothing on him. So why are you recording? You're recording because you don't know what to expect. not because you don't think that you can match them talent for talent and beat them. No, it's because you need to get some video on him. You need to see what's going on, what they do. And this is what I'm saying. When people tell me the Patriots are always the most prepared, well, we just saw why. Oh, well, let's distance Bill Belichick from this, right? Because this was their video crew. This had nothing to do with their football operations. Well, doesn't that seem like a great cover-up?
No, you're right. You're right. But it's just amazing. What is this, the second time this has come about?
This is the second time that they've been busted for videotaping. They've had Deflategate, they've had Spygate. They were the first team ever to get caught cheating the PUP rules. And that's why the NFL, people don't ever talk about that either. They will put guys on PUP for the 6 weeks, and those guys are not allowed to practice when they're on PUP. And what the Patriots would do is they would put them on PUP, and then they would have these guys practicing the whole time, getting in shape, getting the system. And it's amazing how much these guys have cheated since they've been in the league.
You're right. Absolutely right. So with that being said, listeners, now it comes to the time that we all love, and it's time to let Mad Mike get his anger off, get some things off his chest. So Mad Mike, what you got for the listeners this week, brother?
It's Adam Gase has to go, man. I'm telling you right now, Adam Gase has to go. I'm looking at all these things that went wrong over the last 2 weeks, over this last season. He's got to go, Lloyd. I don't understand what we're doing. Giving up points. He comes on and he, I don't know if you saw it. Him and Sam Darnold had a big, big time blow up on the sideline. Not big time, but, you know, Sam was caught saying, you know, F off, and he brushed them off. And Davis Fales, the backup quarterback's mouth dropped. And he's like, oh, crap, what just happened? Lev Bell is staring at it the whole time with a smile on his face, because it seems like everyone is just waiting for Sam to finally snap, because everybody has just had enough of this coach. Devontae Parker became a star this year. There's a guy who last year his agent actually had to come out and threaten to put in a grievance case against Adam Gase, because Gase was lying and saying that Devontae Parker was hurt, which is why he was being a healthy, you know, he was being scratched, because they were trying to get him traded, and Gase was hurting his trade value, right? And then we see Kenyon Drake has become a star in Arizona. We saw what Jay Ajayi did, averaging over 5 yards a carry for Philadelphia when he got traded. At some point, when are the New York Jets going to realize that they hired the wrong man? This guy is doing nothing. He's doing nothing to show. There's no adjustments. None whatsoever. He goes into this post game. He's like, well, we knew we had to score touchdowns to keep up. Well, you feeling like you had to score touchdowns to keep up is why you went in down 21-7 instead of 21-17. Right? Not only that, Lloyd, but Sam Darnold clearly had a miscommunication with the fourth string tight end. Fourth. Not second, not third, not starter. Their fourth string tight end. Clearly had a miscommunication. Gase goes into that press conference, and instead of saying, yeah, there was a communication, he goes, no, tight end ran the right route. Sam threw it to the wrong place. You can't do that. You can't do that. How can you serve your 22-year-old quarterback up to the wolves like that? You're the head coach. You're supposed to take the bullets. You're not supposed to pass the blame. It's time for him to get fired, and it's time for Chris Johnson to wake up.
There you have it, listeners. Strongly said. And with that being said, listeners, that brings us to a close of the final show of 2019. Listeners, it's been a great year. Me and Mad Mike want to thank you for being with us every step of the way. And we're looking to be so much better in year 2020 than we are in the year 2019. We want to thank our producer, Ayo Omar Baker, for rocking this out with us. So listeners, please, I want you, your family, and your loved ones to have a safe, blessed Christmas and very happy New Year. And, you know, nothing but the best for all of you. Matt Mike, you got some final words you want to say to the listeners before we end the last show?
Yo, just want to wish everybody Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year. Stay safe over the holidays. if you are going to drink and have a good time on New Year's, make sure that you have contingency plans. Everybody make it home safe and bring it in and have a blessed New Year.
Yes, and we want to dedicate this show and, you know, the success of this show to a good friend of ours who lost his mother last week. You know, it's a tough time for him, but he was the one that thought it was a great idea for me and Mad Mike to do what we're doing right now. And he's dear to both of our hearts. So we want to send our condolences to him and his family. It's a tough time to go through something like that at this time of the year. But, you know, please. So I say that with listeners, please support and love and be there for your family, friends, and loved ones. And again, have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. So with that being said, hey, yo, let's get up out of here, baby.
And just like that, much like my cup of coffee, this show is over, finished, finito, done, we're out of here. Thank y'all for listening. If you're subscribed, much appreciated. If not, please do so, because brand new episodes drop every single Monday, and I would hate to see you miss something. LloydAThompson.com, part of myfresh.com. Subscribe, follow, at Lloyd A. Thompson on Instagram and Twitter. We're out of here. Peace.